Hey, this is Rob Ansbach, and welcome back to another edition of E-Heroes for those keeping count. This is episode 399. And my next guest, we're going to talk about achieving your full potential. And so I brought in Holly Porter. And Holly, you run an international organization. You do all kinds of great stuff. You do retreats oh my goodness, we're going to have a great chat today. So welcome and thanks for being here.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Rob. Appreciate it.
We connected on Facebook I just read that Facebook wants to start charging people for usage, in tiers. And I
Unbelievable.
thought, they trained us for the last 2 decades
Yeah.
on free social media. And we all knew this was coming,
Yeah.
but I think this is going to be the death of social media as we know it, when
Well,
people
like
have to
they
start
don't make their
charging.
money off sales and everything else and ads. It's like, for Pete's sake.
So it's, but Facebook is still a great connector. I prefer LinkedIn right now only because that's where the movers and shakers are. That's where people with money decide to buy your service.
Yep.
Although, LinkedIn is starting to become like all the rest of them,
I know. So.
but here's the thing is that, you are focused on helping people achieve their full potential. And
Yeah.
as an entrepreneur, I think we get confused a lot. We think being busy is achieving our potential. Writing books could be our potential, but there's got to be something that's drives us to get to that point at the beginning, and I think we as entrepreneurs get confused.
Yeah, we do. At
You know,
times, clarity is an amazing thing.
for me, I've been accused of being ADHD. I don't know. I like to just stay hyper focused,
Yeah.
when I started writing books, people are like, "Well, Rob, how do you find time?" just like anything else, you make the time,
We all have the same 24 hours in a day. Where's your priority? That's what I think.
it's 70 books in 13 years. It does consume some time to write books, to produce books. But it's like you said, it's the same time I have that you have that everybody has, and I see people that are busier than I am, and I'm thinking, wow. So you're looking at me saying, okay, great, you produce all this content, but other people are producing even more. So how do we know when we've achieved that full potential?
I think for that's a different answer probably for each individual. I mean, for me, I feel like I'm satisfied, when I had a near-death experience. And so it's like when you're laying there thinking, is this it? Like, was I enough? Am I enough? Did I do enough? Did I serve enough? Did I leave a legacy? Am I leaving a legacy? All these questions are just going through your mind thinking, and I was never afraid to die. I'm definitely not now. And that being said, I was okay. Like, I felt like, you know what? With the information I had as a parent and as a friend and as a entrepreneur for many years, I did the best I could with the knowledge I had. And when I had more knowledge and when I could do better, then I do better. And so I think that answer could be so different for people. Like there's some people that'll never be satisfied. They live in that space, and I don't want to live in that space.
2 years ago, we took our or took losing my voice. We took my mother's mother to, or we took my wife's mother to France for 2 weeks. And while I was there, and I thought about my legacy. And I sketched out a book called Legacy, why I was there in 2 weeks. And when I came home, I wrote the book and got it up on Amazon. And people
Nice.
are like, "Well, Rob, your book has nothing to do with money." No, it doesn't. Because here's the thing is that we believe, well, most entrepreneurs believe that if they leave behind money, that's their legacy.
Yeah.
Problem with that is within one generation, that money's gone. So who did you help? For me, it's leaving behind knowledge. All these books that I've produced are my
Yeah.
legacy to the next generation, to the generation after that. It's all content that can be consumed, to be learned.
Yeah.
And you know, I've written about all kinds of things. Maybe some things that may not be relevant in a year or 2 years, because my early books focused on technology, on social media, on SEO, on, you know, a lot of that's changed. So a lot of the newer stuff, the life lessons, the marketing lessons, the being an entrepreneur, you know, those are what things, you know, I consider my legacy for others to learn from.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I agree with you. I mean, money's never really been my motivator. Coming back from a near-death experience, it's more important to me now because of the impact I need to make and the philanthropy that I need to do. I want to be a check writer, just to say it plain and simple. I don't want to be in the ick of it all. I want to find the people that are experiencing that and say, how much do you need to make that happen? And it takes money to do that. And I feel like, the way it's been provided for me, providing that I do the work and I get there, and I'm okay. I've never been afraid of work. Like, work doesn't scare me. I'll probably never retire,
Right.
but I want to live in the space that I'm building the things I love, and I'm making the impact that I want to make for
Yeah.
sure.
You know, my neighbor, 55 years old, just retired. And I look at him and I'm thinking, great, you know, that's great. And then he looks at me, he goes, yeah, but you've been, you know, working from home for the last 10 years, and you know, you wrote all these books and you've done. So he looks at me with awe. I look at him and going, wow, you're already retired. You know, and like you said, as an entrepreneur, I'll probably never retire, because I, to me, it's always about teaching somebody something. And you know, I just got off the phone earlier. A guy called me. He says, you know, I want videos that go viral. I said, why? He says, because I want lots of people to know me. I said, I don't work that way. I said, when I do videos, I only expect one
Yeah.
person for it to help. And he
Yeah.
goes, well, that's stupid. I said, no, it's not. You can have these videos that go viral and you not make any money whatsoever. You know, it's all in your head. Or
Yeah.
you can have one video that touches somebody and they call you and they hire you. One video is all it takes.
Right.
You know, and I think we have that backwards now. You know,
Yeah.
yes, we're marketers, and yes, we want attention, but we want the right attention.
Yeah.
And that's the impact. The impact
I
is
mean,
not
they
going
say
viral.
all publicity is good publicity, but I'd rather have positive publicity. When I ran for political office, worst thing ever, and that's where, oh, even if they're saying bad things, it's still publicity. And I'm just like, yeah, but is it the truth? Like, that I stand for truth. And if it's not the truth, then go away.
Yeah, but
Oh.
you had mentioned philanthropy just a little bit ago, and I know that you do a lot of philanthropy, that you have this Adventure Bucket Wish Foundation.
Yeah.
You know, and it is it just for women, or is it for everyone? What, how did that start?
There's an interesting story behind that. So, I was told in my near-death experience to start this nonprofit, and I was given the name Adventure Bucket Wish, and I was not given a mission. So originally, 4.5 years ago, the mission was for long COVID sufferers because there was 100 million suffering and it was underserved and it was so needed. After a couple years, we quickly realized that no one really gave a crap. And YouTube was suppressing our podcast because we would use the word COVID in it. And obviously we're saying that it was for long COVID. And so I took all the fundraising off the table that year. Something just didn't feel right. This is almost 2.5 years in now, and I'm recording a podcast. That was the only thing I kept doing. And I was given a message so clear. So I'm in the middle of recording, and the person is telling their long COVID story. And all of a sudden, I started reliving mine. I couldn't breathe. I felt like I had an elephant on my chest. I was like, what is happening? I mean, it was a really scary feeling. And all of a sudden, I get this message. This is not your mission anymore, and this is your last podcast. And so I was happy because I was looking for an answer and it was so clear. So I shut down all that, and then I started going through this grief process and thinking, why would God tell me to start this nonprofit and then take it away? So one of my board members said to me, she's very intuitive, and she said, if I remember right, you got the name, but you did not get the mission. And I said, you're right. And she said, okay, we're in our third year. That's kind of a big deal for a nonprofit. Let's change the name. I mean, let's keep the name and change the mission. So that's where she said, what'll light you up? Because it was draining me. I have long COVID still, and I was getting better. I was focused totally on wellness, and it was just throwing me back. It was like, people don't want to get better. A lot of people just don't care. They like being in the victim mode, and I wasn't. I was focused on wellness. So it was actually counterproductive for me. So that's where we came up. I said, well, purpose is what I came out of my near-death experience. I feel like I never really had purpose before that, and I was in my 50s. And I think it's helping women find purpose. So then we kind of defined, men, women. So it became for women. And literally right now, we didn't do a lot with it the last couple years because I really just need to focus on another company I was working on. And so we just met about a month ago, my board, same board, who followed me through my whole COVID journey. So they became my board of directors because they were a mastermind before that, and it worked out really well. But we just are shifting the name. I think we're going to keep the nonprofit name as is, the 501c3, but we're doing business as RBL Women, which is Rebel Women, which is Rise, Build, Lead. And we have a whole program and lots of things we're going to be offering. So our next board meeting is this next week, and super excited where that's going to go. So that was a long story to your question, but super happy where it's headed.
Well, it all comes back to, achieving your full potential. And for me, I come up with hundreds of ideas every month, helping my clients, and I have to whittle them down and make them simple, because a lot of my clients, maybe not, maybe may they won't be as gung ho as me, because I know how things will work. I've been doing this for so long that I also look at, the long goals. The and I say, well, if they do this, 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 and this, they're going to achieve success. The problem is that if I don't give it to them in small chunks, they get overwhelmed, they don't do it, and then, the long goals don't happen. So, in order for us to achieve that potential, I go back to the movie, What About Bob? And he says, you got to do baby steps, baby steps. And sometimes that's all we have to do. And
But take the step. You have to
yeah,
take
you
the
have to
first
take the
step.
step. And I say that reference to some of these younger entrepreneurs, and are like, what is What About Bob?
Yeah,
Now,
it's
go
true.
watch it, but
Classics.
yeah, it is. But sometimes you have to use, current events, you have to use movies, you have to use whatever you can to showcase to entrepreneurs, this is how you do it. And I'm not saying all entrepreneurs are stubborn. I know I was. At the very
Little.
beginning, I thought I knew all the answers until I was almost broke. And then I had to go seek the answers. And for me, it was painful at first, because here I am begging and borrowing and getting money to go to Arizona to learn at a seminar full of people that I thought were better than me. you know, because I didn't know marketing from anything. But I learned. And you know, without that catalyst, without that inspiration, I would have never started this media company, which is now 25 years old. So sometimes you have to do the things that you don't want to do to make sure that you have a future worth, you know, having. And you know, maybe yet I still haven't reached my full potential. Because I don't know exactly what that is. You know, for me, it's I'm always in this Peter Pan mode. What am I going to be when I grow up? You know, I've been doing this for so long. To me, this is fun.
Keeps you young.
You know, I'll be 57 this year. I have kids, I have grandkids. You know, so for me, the older I get, the more time I want to take away from the business and travel. And you know, but I'm still connected. We live in this great world where we can stay connected with these devices and we can go anywhere in the world and still work. And for me, that is a potential that I created because back in the, you know, late 90s, people were always talking about a laptop lifestyle. I don't take my laptop anywhere because it's too bulky. I take my phone, I take my tablet. That's all I need. You know? So sometimes we have to create the potential and then, you know, live in it. You know? So let's talk about your book.
Sure. The last one, that one.
The last one.
What would you like to know about it?
Well, how'd you come up with it?
Well, it's from my near-death experience. I had had about 13 books at the time I got COVID, and so I wasn't planning on doing any more and didn't need to. I just felt like I'm good. I'm complete. And I knew when I came out of the hospital, I knew that I had two more. I was like, really? So I knew that the one story would be about my near-death experience because it was so significant to many people and all the experiences that I had. And I know the next one, which is years down the road, is from the philanthropy work that I'm called to do, that I'm the whole purpose part. So that'll come later. I'm not even going to stress about it. This one was like the biggest book I have. A lot of my books were anthologies. And so this one, I don't know, there's about 275 pages, I think, in it. And it had to be impactful for me because I didn't have a spiritual book. None of my books were. So this was a spiritual book because of the contents. And I'm about personal development. So like the first half is my story and everything I went through. History, all the near death, out of body, and spiritual transformative experiences that I had in the hospital. And then the second half is about personal development and all the lessons I learned. So, shift, name, everything that happened around this whole story became spiritual, even more so because I was writing a spiritual book. It was like put me in that zone. So, near death shift, what life taught me about life, business, and purpose is the full name. And it's got a lot of lessons in it for sure around the SHIFT acronym, which is surrender, hope, intuition, faith, and transformation. And the best thing that came out of it while I was writing it, though, was a new business. I was not, it's my 12th startup company, so I was not looking for something else to do. I was focused on the two things I was told to do in my near death, the nonprofit, and also another company I had called Retreat R&R. To not partner with somebody who has had a billionaire backer. I was told not to in my near-death experience. And so I was focused on those, just moving along. And I was given this idea about a retreat. I listened more because I was already in the retreat industry, a retreat association. And I was kind of curious. So I went down the rabbit hole while I was writing the book, just enough to pique my interest to realize there wasn't one. There's 2 to 3 million estimated retreat leaders in the world and no association for them to belong to, including that whole ecosystem of venues and service providers and retreat leaders. So I was very interested. I'm an early adapter. I like to be first. I mean, not that I have to win. It's not about that. It's just I love that they hadn't done one. I was part of National Association of Realtors for 20 years. I'm a real estate broker, and so I was part of Utah and National. That's the biggest trade association that they have out there. So it's getting people to understand why you need to belong to an association and what it's going to help you do. And for us, there's no professional standards created till now. We just created them. So I incorporated it. Basically, I made a deal with God that if he'll help me not miss my deadline for my book, which was 11/11, very significant to my story, November 11th, that I would give 110. I'd stop everything else I was doing and I would focus just on this because I knew I was supposed to do it and I was supposed to do it now. So I incorporated it after in December, and we just launched a couple weeks ago the membership. It's called International Retreat Association, exactly what it is. And we've created professional standards, we've created values. It's just such a fragmented industry right now. So I'm so excited that the world has a hub where they can come together. I'm not looking to compete with anybody. I'm here to support the industry and all that it's about, and move it forward, because retreats will be a $363 billion industry by 2029. So right around the corner, and it's not going anywhere. People want to travel. COVID's taught us we want to be in-person things. We want to do experiences, and we're just here all about that to support and change lives.
That was sort of the reason why I started my Embrace the Magic immersive, which is at Disney World. I wanted my retreats to be different, to be in small groups. I don't want 100 people. I don't want 50. I keep it to 10 people. And people are, and some of these people that are running these huge retreats are like, "Well, Rob, that's ridiculous. You should serve more people."
They call those events. They're not retreats, they're events,
They
which is fine.
are,
We need those too.
for me, I would be done peopling with about 5 minutes. Those are too big. I went to some of those, or thousands of people. I went to ones that are a couple hundred. No, I give me like 10 people. That's it. We'll be friends. We'll have dinners. We'll have fun. But beyond that, no.
But that's your vision of
Right.
impact and how
That's
you
my
want
vision of my perfect retreat immersive is being more closer to the people that are there. I want to know their names. I want to know their kids' names. I want to know their dogs' names. I want to know their stories. You have hundreds of people. You don't know anybody.
No, I mean, we'll look at like Tony Robbins events that are tens and thousands of people, and but that's his that's how he wants to make impact, and he does. Like, he's created something that works for him, and you've created something that works for you. It's
Yeah,
okay.
and the thing is, I'm not knocking anybody.
No.
I believe there's so much work out there for everybody,
Yeah, me too.
but in order to for any entrepreneur to gain ground, they have to stand out. They have to have something that is unique to them. And for me, I've been doing this podcast for 8 years. I publish books, I help people with their marketing. Anybody can help with marketing. I get it. There's other things that I do that are unique to helping you grow as an entrepreneur. But I know you have a podcast too.
I do, and now the association gets to sponsor it, and it'll become part of that. Because it's called All Things Retreat. So fits right in with what we're doing. We interview people that are in the industry, or and they really don't have to be in the industry. Some people are just experts in what they do. Retreat leader is a very broad term. When you talk about a niche and they say, narrow down your niche of who you're focused on, and you probably teach that in marketing and promoting. It's like, you got to know who you're speaking to. Well, when we're an association that's international, that's for the whole ecosystem, that's a very broad niche, but it is our niche, right? We're bringing them all under the umbrella. So A retreat leader can be any business of any kind doing retreats. And so,
Well,
I mean,
no,
I feel
and
like.
I've been invited to retreats all over the world. Some of them I've gone to, some of them I haven't,
Sure.
just because of family functions. But there's one coming up, I think, in Spain. There's one in Australia. I mean, you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
You're not limited to where you go to learn. But and I think one of the things that especially entrepreneurs with families, with young kids, for them it's hard to travel. It's hard to go to these events because they got kids in tow. Now they have to find a babysitter. They got to do this. You got to do that. Not always easy. I get it. I've been there, done that.
I'm in a place. I know. We raised
But
eight kids. We know.
but if it's something that you really want to do, you will find a way to do it.
Yeah. I was part of Rotary International. I don't know if you know that. It's a service organization. It's, people think it's a networking club, but it's about service. And it was like watching people that served. It was always the same core group. You have 80 people and it's the same 12 people that are volunteering, that are doing everything. It's always seems to be that percentage in everything. And it's just like, we all have the same 24 hours, like we were talking about earlier. And it's like, your time's not any more valuable than my time. You put something else ahead of this. This isn't important to you because you will find time to do whatever you need to do.
And I want to go back to this because for those listening, as an entrepreneur, you don't have to work 24/7.
No, you
But
shouldn't. Nobody should.
I try to restrict my days to about 4 hours max. Sometimes I go over, sometimes I work less. But the times I'm dedicated to working, I put in my all so that I make the money so that I can do whatever I want with my family when I want. Your business should not be, you should not become a slave to your business.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of that full potential, because we as entrepreneurs, we want to just work and work and work and work.
Yeah.
But what about our family who wants us, to spend time with them? So
Yep.
you have to balance that lifestyle, but if you can maximize one, then you can spend time with the others. And
Yeah.
so, it's your family is looking at you going, "Hey, why do you work 90 hours a week? Come on now. You spend time with us."
Yeah.
And that was hard for me at first, But then I realized, "Hey, I can get up early in the morning, get my stuff done, hyper focus. Get, I probably produce more stuff in one day than most people produce all year. It's just that's the way I work. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just this is who
Yep,
I am.
yep.
But others, you guys can do things that I can't do. And so one of the things I focus on when people come to me about writing a book, write about your stories.
Yeah.
What makes you different? What would fascinate somebody listening to you to share your stories? And I'll sit down with them just like we're doing now, and I'll pull out those stories. And a lot of times they are the most fascinating stories, but because that person has told it so many times, it's boring to them.
Yeah. I always think every signature talk I have to tweak to the audience, which is a good thing, except I don't have to recreate everything, 'cause I have that issue where I think, "Oh, I've told this. Oh, they've heard it." But I'll tell you what, if you're a good storyteller, you can listen to the same story over and over from someone because they're so creative in how they tell it and share it, that you're engaged, you're leaning in because they're good at it. The skill.
My buddy Joe Sugarman, who was the inventor of blue blocker sunglasses, he passed away a couple years ago, but he would share stories. He wouldn't get up on stage and preach to you or give you some marketing. He would share stories. And it's the same story he would say, from 15 years ago to now, it's the same ones. It just and so I go to these events and I hear the same story over and over. And I even interviewed him and it was the same story. And I was like, people enjoy listening.
Yep.
You know, and people are fascinating with how, you know, your origin story or you know, your overcoming death story.
Yeah.
People want to know. You know, what
It has
drives
shocked
this?
me about how much people are fascinated with death, period. You know, and it's always, I'm an open book, so I answer any questions, so I'm the easy one. But I just didn't think about it. Like people, I don't dwell on that. I was never afraid to die, but it's like, huh, interesting that how many people, like they're so, I try to say healing things too. Like I didn't get a chance, I didn't get the opportunity to choose to come back. I got sent back with a mission. I would have stayed. Honestly, I really think I would have stayed. And so I share that with people that think, why? You know, why do some die, some don't? And it's like, if they gotta choose, I can't think of any reason. I mean, you're important to them, of course. And I can't think why they'd want to come back to this when they're where they are. I mean, I would have stayed. And so I said, you know, so don't take it personal. They're probably helping you better from the other side than they are here. That's the way I looked at it.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's why I push myself every day to, you know, put out content that can be shared when I'm no longer here.
Yeah, very important.
we go back to the legacy thing, and it's, yeah, my kids will be taking care of grandkids, but beyond that, they're on their own. It's,
Yeah.
you know, the money is not supposed to last generation. You know, that's what they tell you to do, but
Right.
you know,
Well, I
it works.
personally don't believe any parent should live and sacrifice to give it to their children. I don't feel like that's a lesson I want to teach my kids.
Right.
I want them to be self-sufficient. I don't want them to wait till I die so they can have money.
Right.
You know, go out and make your own, do it yourself. And I don't know. I was raised so independent, so that's how I raised my children was to be independent. I don't give them everything.
Yeah, they have, and you know, as we as entrepreneurs are trying to live up to our full potential, we have to make sure our kids do the same thing, whether they're an entrepreneur or not. You
Yeah.
know, make sure that they're you know, getting a good job where they can support themselves and their spouse and their kids. And you know, it's tough out there, but if you give them the right skill set, they can
Yeah.
accomplish anything.
Yeah, definitely. I
So
agree. And set by example.
how do people find you? Where do they go?
I have a link. Do you have show notes that
I
you?
will when we're all done.
Yeah, I would say I'll give you a link tree, and that takes you to my websites, the association, my books, my social media, everything's in one link. So it's so much easier to give that out, and then you can find me anywhere you want.
Yeah. I do know that you do have what the hollyporterinternational.com is your website, but then you also have the foundation, and I'll share those all out.
Okay.
You know, so you know, what is one piece of advice that you'd give? We're coming up on time, but you know, what can you share?
I share this a lot because this is my story. In my near-death experience, when I was seeing my life review, I asked why I was only seeing good. I wasn't seeing the naughty things that I had done, and I had done plenty. And I heard a very clear answer. I didn't see God, but I heard him. And he said, I'm showing you the good because that's what matters. And I thought, wow, you know, that's a God of love. Okay. And then he gave me this message, and this message is very important, how it was given. He said, love them where they're at. And I think that is so profound to think if you love them, people, where they're at, it takes that judgment out of the whole equation. It's not our place to do that. And if we just accept people for where they are and what they know and move forward, I think it changes the energy and we can just be happier doing
Yeah,
that.
and the thing is that when you love them where they're at, they're gonna want to achieve their full potential. You
Yeah.
know, they have something to live for. They have something to prove. And I'm not saying that proving is something that we want people to, but it is. It's they feel more empowered to go out there when they have love to back them up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I want everybody to visit Holly and listen to her podcasts and buy her books and discover that shift. Not the near death shift, but you can read her book, but
Yeah,
learn
learn
to,
from the lessons.
yeah.
And you don't have to truly die to truly live.
That's right. So we'll see you guys on the next episode. Adios.